visitors. Then there are the partial ghost towns, such as Goldfield, Nevada, and Deadwood, South Dakota, where sections of the town are still inhabited and some mining is still done, but where the early buildings survive like windows into yesterday. And there are the true ghost towns, wholly deserted or perhaps inhabited by one or two families, stark, somber collections of tumble-down shacks, withering into nothingness, sleeping their final sleep. Bodie, California, and Bullfrog, Nevada, belong in this class. Lastly, there are the mining camps that the scythe of time has completely cut away. Nothing at all remains, except perhaps the stump of a building jutting above the barren soil, or the shadowy outlines of vanished streets. Typical ghosts of this sort are Silver Reef, Utah, and Charleston, Arizona. All of these ghost towns are the heritage of the mining booms that began in 1849 in California, when men from all over the world stampeded toward the Sierra Nevada mountains in search of quick wealth. Some of those who went west in 49 achieved great fortunes. Most did not, and turned away, disappointed, but always optimistic, ready to follow any rumor of gold discovery. Fickle and easily tempted, these prospectors rarely stayed in one place long. Towns sprang up and grew like mushrooms while the mining was good, but they could perish as easily as they had been founded. The pattern was repeated again and again: a strike of gold, an influx of miners, the birth of a bustling camp. Then came those who hoped to get rich serving the miners: the saloon keepers, the bankers, the laundrymen, the grocery store operators, the surveyors and engineers, the gamblers. Presto, a mining camp became a town. A town became a city. Within 3 or 4 years, a collection of tents might turn into a metropolis with an opera house, a sumptuous hotel, a row of thriving shops. And then the flow of treasure from the earth slackened, or someone came into town with tales of even easier wealth somewhere else. Off the miners went, laughing, quarreling, predicting bonanzas in the next range of mountains, leaving behind a dying town. Perhaps later on, other prospectors would come and find new treasure there, silver or copper instead of gold maybe, and a second cycle of feverish growth would begin. Some of the mining camps went through 3 or 4 lifetimes this way, before sinking into their last slumber. It did not take long for these ghost towns to begin appearing. By the end of 1850, California was dotted with mining camps that had played out fast. The village of Washington, California, on the Yuba River, had a lifetime of little more than a year. What seemed to be a rich strike of gold turned out to be otherwise, and the miners departed, leaving behind their cabins and stores and a large hotel. The story was a common one. Mark Twain, who lived in California and Nevada during some of the liveliest years of the mining boom, described the abandoned mines of California's Sacramento Valley in his book Roughing It, published in 1871. It was in this Sacramento Valley that a deal of the most lucrative of the early gold mining was done, and you may still see in places its grassy slopes and levels torn and gutted and disfigured by the avaricious spoilers of 15 and 20 years ago. You may see such disfigurements far and wide over California, and in some such places, where only meadows and forests are visible, not a living creature, not a house, no stick or stone or remnant of a ruin, and not a sound, not even a whisper, to disturb the Sabbath stillness. You will find it hard to believe that there stood at one time a fiercely flourishing little city of 2,000 or 3,000 souls, with its newspaper, fire company, brass band, volunteer militia, bank, hotels, noisy 4th of July processions and speeches, gambling hells crammed with tobacco smoke, profanity, and rough-bearded men of all nations and colors, with tables heaped with gold dust sufficient for the revenues of a German principality, streets crowded and rife with business, town lots worth $400 a front foot, labor, laughter, music, dancing, swearing, fighting, shooting, stabbing, a bloody inquest, and a man for breakfast every morning. Everything that delights and adorns existence, all the appointments and appurtenances of a thriving and prosperous